Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamond South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC Diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. This is the ZabeCast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Here we go. Feeling kind of mean. Tuesday, December 31st, 2024. The last day of the year. And the last ZabeCast for 2024. Thank you for not only downloading today and listening, but for being a listener, and I hope an evangelist for this podcast. I am humble and happy to say another new high water mark for this little venture that I think is going on 6 years now. I should probably know that. All I know is I started this and said, can I do it basically every day or 5 days a week? Can I constantly put out the product? Can I put the product at a level that I'm comfortable with in terms of quality? And luckily I figured out that yes, I can do that. And it becomes an obsession to the point where, like, tonight, it's Monday night. I got a bit of GERD going on, as you might be able to hear. I've got my milk and eggnog to try to soothe it down. I'm watching the Lions and the Niners play a game that means nothing right now, and Dan Campbell is playing all of his starters. I had a wonderful dinner with my podcast manager, PR guy, tech wizard, marketing director, Chris Broussard. And trust me, I did not want to sit down and grind for 35 minutes on stats and figures and tweets and where was this? Okay, let me put it into my rundown because tonight's a solo show and get the podcast out. But well, here I am. Because I knew that if I just said, fuck it, it doesn't matter. Just, you know, take a day off. You deserve a day off. No, there's too much going on. There's too much that I want to say. There's too much that I've been making notes of going, oh, I got to talk about this. So highest downloads, most subscribers, all the metrics, new record year. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Tell a friend, please, if you can. Say, this is a good one. This is a good podcast. In a sea of options, in an ocean of shit, this is a good one. Honest, intelligent, addictive sports conversation and more. Speaking of the year being done now, there's an account. I think I've mentioned it on here. If not, I'll do it again. It's called Progress Bar. Look it up on Twitter. Progress Bar. It basically gives you what percentage of the year is downloaded as the days and months go on. And it pops up randomly like Progress Bar. 2024 is 33% complete. And it's got the green line. Progress Bar. Well, I finally got the notification from Progress Bar that 2024 is 99% complete. And I sent the link to my morning show co-host, Brian Butch. And I said, haha, Butchie, look at this. And he responded to me by saying, haha, fuck, what a year we just wasted. Oh, well, too late now to do much. Let's shut it down for the rest of 2024. The same way. I had a great year, but I had bigger ambitions. So we'll start them all over again tomorrow, everybody. Get them New Year's resolutions, and we'll see how long they last. Let's talk about time, shall we? They say time waits for no man. They say true wealth is a wealth of time on your hands. Time in which you are healthy and you don't have to work so you can pursue your own happiness and leisure or pursuits that just, you know, are gratifying to your soul. They don't make anyone any money. You work to have money to let you do what you want when you want, and that's the value of time. And it's ticking on all of us. For some reason, football coaches, especially NFL coaches, do not understand time. They just don't. They're abysmal at clock management in ways that defy belief at times. You say to yourself, what are you doing? It started last Thursday night with Thomas Brown and the Bears. They executed one of the most unbelievable pièce de résistance levels of clock mismanagement I think I've ever seen. Now, I give Thomas Brown a little bit of slack because, look, the guy was in Carolina last year, goes to the Bears. He's an assistant. He gets promoted to head coach as they fired Eberflus this year, and now he's in over his head. So I don't expect the best clock management, but holy crap, this was the worst. The Bears had the ball at their own 38-yard line with 3 minutes and 39 seconds left and two timeouts. They would hold the ball for three more minutes. They converted a fourth down and a third down, but somehow only gained 22 more yards. And the drive stalled at the 40, the plus 40, which would have been a 57-yarder, which they know they're weak legged limp dick kicker can't make, so they didn't even try it. And they went home with one timeout in their back pocket. What in the living fuck? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I've never seen anything quite like that so bad, but they just bungled it six ways to Sunday and somehow ran out of time with 3:39 left. And part of that's Caleb Williams. Everyone wants to point to Caleb Williams' stats and say, look at this, no interceptions, look at this, this metrics, that, you know. Caleb Williams is way down there. I think he's 29th in completion percentage. And to me, and this is just me, completion percentage does not lie. It's not just a function of how accurate you are in delivering the ball. It's really a function of how many easy throws can you recognize as you get up under center or as you stand there in the shotgun and look at what the defense is giving you. Good quarterbacks rack up their completion percentage because they're only making 5 or 6 hard throws a game. The rest of them, they're paint by the numbers. They see what it is. They're like, okay, this is open. This is open. This is open. Pitch, catch, pitch, catch, pitch, catch. Next thing you know, they're at 70% for the year. Caleb Williams is down at 62%. So a lot of that was Caleb Williams on Thursday night. But that was even worse than what Raheem Morris did. Raheem Morris in the Sunday night thriller in Raljohn, Maryland, committed such time management blunderation that it was the talk of social media. And it basically came down to, hey, you've got 2 timeouts in your pocket. A field goal wins the game. Not getting a field goal does not lose the game. So be conscious of your under a minute left. Any positive chunk play should result in a quick, boom, timeout. Raheem Morris did not do that. Raheem Morris had a big completion. Michael Penix Jr. had a big completion, probably 15, 18 yards. And instead of calling timeout, with under a minute to go, Raheem Morris stood there and watched 16 seconds burn as they ran another play. By the time the mismanagement was over, they had to settle for a Riley Patterson field goal from 56 that was woefully short. Talk about limp dick, weak leg guys. Brandon McManus or Brandon Aubrey down there in Dallas is like, he didn't even get it to the crossbar from 56. But it's because 16 seconds is 3 plays. Now, why? The question about why. By the way, even the coaches who are doing well this year, like Kevin O'Connell, really good coach. Kevin O'Connell did it as well in the first half. Bungled the clock management. So we know coaches are bad at clock management. I think the better question is why. Why are they so bad? I jokingly say they don't understand time, but they probably maybe understand time in general. But I think the reason coaches are so bad at this is, one, they will never delegate timeouts to somebody else. They could easily tell someone on their staff up in the press box, look, you just call timeout. You just say in my headset, timeout, and I will call it. But I'm not thinking about timeouts. You worry about winning when to call time. Because I'm thinking about a bunch of other stuff out here. Play calls, maybe, if you're a head coach that calls plays. Personnel groupings, a bunch of other stuff. They never want to delegate it because they want that control. Also, coaches are superstitious. And they believe way too much in their own abilities as coach. This is what Raheem Morris said after the game. And listen to the way he couches it. Like, well, you can second guess, whatever.
Why did you take the timeout after Darnell's catch first down?
Probably could have. I thought we can get to the line of scrimmage with our operation, be a little bit faster there. Get him there without going on the fast and our ball. Try to save that timeout.
For what? You ended up with 2 timeouts in your pocket with 6 seconds left. God, you must have felt stupid. There's 6 seconds left. What are you saving 2 timeouts for now? You've got 1 play left and 2 timeouts. Listen to what he said. We thought our operation would be faster.
First down.
Probably could have. I thought we can get to line of scrimmage with our operation, be a little bit faster there.
Overconfidence in their own abilities and their own execution. Time is time. You must save it above all else. No act on the field will put time back on the clock. Nothing. But there are 5 things that are as good as a timeout when you have the ball. Each half, you're given 3 timeouts, and then there's 5 other acts that could give you just as good of a timeout. 1, an incompletion. 2, run out of bounds. 3, penalty. Four, the other team sometimes takes timeouts. And five is a spike when you've just gotten a first down and you don't need to use all four downs of the ensuing set of downs. Five things are almost as good as a timeout, but nothing puts time back on the clock. When that time bleeds out, you die. You're done. You're dead. I believe once you're under a minute, any completion, any chunk play over 15 yards, always take a timeout. Even if it's your last one, I'd still do it. Time is utmost of importance. And especially take a timeout when you've got more than one. Coaches take timeouts in the second half to avoid five-yard penalties. They take timeouts to challenge calls that they know they will not win. They just don't understand. Timeouts are there in the second half to do one thing and one thing only, save time, the precious thing. You know, it took a long time for teams to finally become properly aggressive on fourth down. And by properly aggressive, I mean a click or two shy of Dan Campbell aggressive. But finally, now the league is like, look, we're at the 50. It's fourth and one. We'll probably get this fourth and one. We shouldn't punt the ball because at best we'll probably net 30 yards. Let's go for it. Teams used to punt on fourth and one at the 50 all the time. Teams used to punt at the 42 plus 42. Teams used to punt. I used to call the 40 to the 50 on the plus side the yellow zone. Forget the red zone. The yellow zone used to be the plus 40 to midfield, and teams would routinely punt in the yellow zone. So it took a long time for coaches to finally go, you know what? We should be going for a lot more of these things. Fourth and one, fourth and two. I think the time will come in which coaches will finally figure out time and timeouts, but boy, we're a long way from that. That was a big Commanders win. Oh, by the way, 11 wins now. For the first time since 1993, every other team in the NFL had done it, had won at least 11 games in that span. It's 31 years, 20, no, it's, yeah, yeah, 31 years, 24, yes, I was carrying the one, okay. 11 wins, first time in 31 years. Every other team had done it. Most teams had done it at least twice. I used to say, don't even call home to brag about your season unless you won 11 or more. Winning 10 in the old 10 and 6 days, okay, whatever. It's a big, big season for Washington. I'm happy for the fan base, happy for my media friends that still cover the team, happy for Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is sick. The Collinsworth analogy of him being like a slalom skier when he runs was, I thought, perfect. He's slippery, but also tough, and then he can throw absolute darts. He sees the field, throws with anticipation, and throws accurately. And the connection to Zach Ertz for the game-winning touchdown was amazing because it was a fastball right where it needed to be, and Ertz, the veteran, made a phenomenal catch. A phenomenal catch after having a touchdown go through his hands earlier in the game. There's some Daniel stats that are noteworthy. First of all, he broke the rookie rushing record. Do you hear my air quotes? Record. I don't know if it's really a record or not, but of course, RG3 made a point to say, congratulations for breaking my record. I'm very happy for you. These old heads need to just stop with the not wanting guys to break records. He earned it. Time for the next generation. Okay. Settle down, RG3. Eric Dickerson has said he does not want Saquon Barkley to break his record. Of course, it'll be in one extra game if he does so, as he's 101 yards short. Big question as to whether or not they try to let him go get it this coming Sunday. I don't think it's smart to do so, but we'll see. The record that Dickerson holds, he broke a 14-game record for most yards in a season. So the season gets longer. That's a real record. Rookie rushing record, I don't know. Daniels on the game-winning drive, though, went 5 for 5. No sacks, 40-plus rushing yards, single drive. He's the only QB in the last 30 years to do that on a single drive at any part of the game, and not just for rookies, but for veteran quarterbacks as well. And he did it in OT to win the game and to clinch a playoff berth. It's incredible. I'm a huge guy that I love Jaden Daniels. I do. Somebody asked me, who do you like more, Jaden Daniels or Jordan Love? And I'm like, Jordan Love's not playing great football right now, but he's coming off a near wipeout knee injury from earlier in the season, which he's mostly recovered from, and I'm not going to hold that as a reason. He's not playing great football. Things are not clicking like they once were. A year ago, Jordan Love was thermonuclear good. He was like 22 over 1 touchdowns to INTs for a stretch late in the season. But I like them both. And what I like the best about Daniels, in addition to all the physical talents, is this. He seems to be, and certainly looks to be, singularly unimpressed with himself and who he is and what he's doing. And what a beautiful, humble quality that is. It is not fake humble like some players we've seen. It's the real deal. He carries himself in a way that I go, wow, this dude is super unimpressed with himself. That's awesome. Meanwhile, Baker Mayfield as well has completed a great turnaround, as has Sam Darnold. We'll get to Darnold in a second. Mayfield was feeding Mike Evans like a slot machine, trying to make sure this incredible talent in Evans gets his, I forget what number, straight year of 1,000 yards. Is it 9 straight years of 1,000 yards, 11 straight years of 1,000 yards receiving? Whatever. Baker Mayfield's having another bomb season. And it's crazy to think that Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield were both on the Carolina Panthers briefly 2 years ago. And they were both considered to be washouts. RG3 claims the following about Mayfield when he was in Cleveland. And this, I had to look this up because I'm like, I don't think Robert intersected Mayfield in Cleveland. And he did not. RG3 had the 1 year in Cleveland after he wiped out with Washington. That was 2016 year. And he was not good. He was 1-4 as a starter. Mayfield came in 2018. But this is what RG3 claims. Quote, the Cleveland Browns tried to destroy Baker Mayfield's NFL career and reputation after he helped them end the NFL's longest postseason drought and win their first playoff game in 26 years. They said they wanted an adult in the room. I do seem to remember that quote about Baker Mayfield. I don't know if that was directly attributed to an individual in the organization or if that was a reported quote from an NFL insider of some sort. But I do remember vaguely that, yeah, we want an adult in the room. RG3 claims that was the Browns trying to destroy his reputation. That may be the case. The Browns are a complete shit show of an organization, and it starts at the top with their owner. But it's also possible that Mayfield matured, that Mayfield finally got humbled, that Mayfield finally said, yeah, I need to do better. I need to look deep inside and say, what is it about me that maybe is rubbing some people the wrong way? Either way, Baker Mayfield is fucking amazing right now. And he is a fun player to watch because of the way he plays. And he is top 3, I think, quarterback passer rating this year. 39 touchdowns as well. Where's my stat sheet on the NFL leaders? Okay, I had them sorted just here. Mayfield, 71.7% completions. 39 over 15. Pick numbers high, but 39 is impressive. Burrow is the only guy above him in touchdowns with 42. Great for Baker Mayfield. I'm happy for him. I'm also happy for Sam Darnold, even though he plays for a team, the Vikings, that is a bitter rival to the Packers. More on that in a second, the Packers. But the Sam Darnold revival tour is truly incredible, and I was as wrong as anybody. And I mocked Charch for saying, I can't believe you think you guys are going to have a season with that dummy, that bust. I didn't believe in the Mike Shanahan resurrection or shine him up tour he had in San Francisco. You didn't see him play, but the word was, no, Darnold's, I'm telling you, Darnold's coming on. Darnold's going to be good. Shanny's working his magic. Shanny Jr. I didn't believe it. But Sam Darnold made the plays needed to close that game out after they got very wobbly against the Packers. And kudos to Kevin O'Connell as well, who realized we can't just run, punt here. We've got to throw to get a first down. We got to make two big throwing plays. And KOC called him, and Darnold delivered. And then you saw Darnold go into the locker room after doing his post-game media stuff. His whole team was waiting, and they absolutely drench him in water. And the bouncing up and down, whoa, whoa, whoa. They lift him up, and he's doing a little dance. That's the stuff, people, that still gets me right here in the feels as a sports fan. There is no better story arc than a redemption arc, and especially one that takes a long time to complete, and especially one that is improbable. And that's what Sam Darnold has done. And he's got the love of his teammates. I also love to see the picture of Saquon Barkley with his offensive line. His O-linemen were holding him up like a little doll. Picked him up, picked his legs up, and they took a picture, and they held up two fingers to say 2,000 yards. I love that shit as well. What, to me, makes the NFL such irresistible catnip as a sporting endeavor, despite all the ways that Goodell and the owners are trying to fuck it up, is that it captures the essence of what men are. Men love to collaborate. We were born to collaborate with each other, and we were born to build. Just like women instinctively and in their DNA, they're born to nurture and protect, because that's what they had to do for millions of years to keep the children alive and safe and calm and nurtured. It's in a woman's DNA. In a man's DNA, it is to collaborate with other men and to build. And the harder it is, the more it will energize men to dig in and fight together. And playing NFL football for a grueling 18-week schedule, and in a league that is so incredibly flat in terms of advantage, with the hardest salary cap there is, and the most chaos introduced any given week, to win in the NFL is one of the hardest things ever. And so when men come together to do it, oh, there is a love amongst men. That's how we say I love you, man, by drenching you with water and picking you up on our shoulders after a hard-fought football game. And I love to see Sam Darnold, who, you know, worked his way back, took all the humiliation as a former first-round pick in, dealt with it, and fought his way back. Same thing for Baker Mayfield. They're great stories. Fun to watch. Hey, everybody. El Baldo here. Look, I know what you're thinking. Pretty ironic having me talk about hair loss prevention, right? Well, my hairline is long gone. Maybe there's still hope for yours. In fact, I think there is. Let me tell you, if I'd known about Hims back in the day, who knows? I could have been a player, Jerry. Maybe I wouldn't be rocking the chrome dome now. But here's the deal. Hair loss isn't fun to talk about, but Hims makes dealing with it incredibly easy. No awkward doctor visits, no uncomfortable conversations. Just answer a few questions and their medical providers will determine if the treatment is right for you. They've got everything from chewable tablets to sprays and serums using clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can help regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. And get this, they'll ship it right to your door for free if prescribed, all for one low price No insurance needed. Start your free online visit today at HIMS.com/ZABE. That's HIMS.com/ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo for your personalized hair loss treatment options. That's HIMS.com/ZABE. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. So, let's talk about the Viking game. The Vikings are better than the Packers. That's pretty much the net. Christian Watson for the Packers is the secret sauce that makes a lot of what they do big chunk-wise, offensively possible. He's the gravitational pull that pulls the tides out away from the line of scrimmage, like low tide, to open up everything intermediate to make all of LaFleur's crafty misdirection, jet sweeps, all this underneath stuff, the running as well. It all works if number nine is dragging the gravitational pull of the tides away from the line of scrimmage. He was out for the first time all year this week, and it made a difference because he doesn't have to catch more than two or three. It's a stretch operation. It's not unlike what DeSean Jackson did back in the day with Philly and with Washington. It does an amazing thing to warp defenses when you know there's a guy who can run so fast, he'll run right by you. Even if you turn your hips and get on your horse right away, makes a huge difference. Also, Matt LaFleur admitted that he did not expect as much man coverage from Brian Flores or B-Flo, and they were slow to adjust. You know, if I'm LaFleur, I wouldn't be admitting that openly. Matt LaFleur is an excellent coach. I'm glad the Packers have him. But he has not won a big game yet. I mean, a big one yet. And the resume on LaFleur winning big games is not good. I went through this with a buddy via text, my boy Big Mike, because he and I both agree. LaFleur is not a big game coach right now. Not yet. But he might become one. I hope he can become one. And that was instantly taken by other Goombas on the text thread as saying, okay, fire him then. Well, go ahead, let's get somebody else. No. There's not a remedy for every problem. There's a great line in Deadwood. I forget what episode it was, but basically, Wu, the Chinese businessman that Al Swearengen would align himself with at times, came over to Al's place, starts going a million miles, speaking gibberish to him. He can't understand him. He's trying to translate. And at one point, Al Swearengen just said, Wu, did it ever occur to you that there's not a fucking solution to every problem that exists in the world? And I want to apply that when it comes to any criticism of Matt LaFleur as a big time or as a big game capable coach. The solution, there is no solution. The solution is stay with Matt LaFleur and hope he gets better in the big moments. Because his playoff history goes as follows. 2019, they beat a weak Seattle team by 5 at home, and they get wiped out by the Niners in the NFC title game in San Francisco. Some would say, well, that was Joe Barry's defense. It was terrible, and they ran crazy on him. Whatever. 2020, they beat a crippled Rams team with Jared Goff coming off of thumb surgery 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks prior to the game, and then a total choke against Brady and the Buccaneers at home in front of 8,000 COVID-approved fans. That's a disaster. 2021 was the Niners' disaster. 2022, week 18, beat the Lions, who are out of the playoffs, and get in. They lose at home at Lambeau. It's a big game. He didn't get it done. That's a joke. And in 2023 last year, yes, they rout Dallas. That was a big wow win that few people predicted. But then they were just too small for the moment in San Francisco with LaFleur. He's not a big game coach yet. I hope he becomes one, but there is no solution. I would not get out of the business of Matt LaFleur. He's excellent in many, many, many ways. But the Vikings are better. Then there was the Phantom Offsides call, which I'm telling you, if you ever thought that there was a thumb on the scale by the league, that was one of those cases where you go, oh, so let's see. A penalty nobody sees that occurs on a field goal attempt from distance, that if the kick is good, fine, just pick up the flag, nobody cares. But if it misses, ooh, we get a second shot at it. It's the perfect moment if the league wanted to put their thumb on the scale. Now, the one thing I will not do is I will not play the game of, well, they would have won that game if it was not for that field goal, and not for the penalty. The game evolves in a linear fashion. They had chances, plenty of chances, even after that penalty and the field goal to make the score, 13-3 at half, to win the game. And people also don't seem to accept the fact that when a team is up big late, they play differently. They play either full-on prevent defense, which we all hate, or something similar or kind of softer version of it. The Vikings were up 27-10 with 6.5 minutes to go. The game was all but over, but then they let up too much, and it got tight at the end. That's the story of the game. They were better. So the Packers are likely, if the Commanders beat the Cowboys, to have to go on the road at Philly for week one of the postseason. They could have a road of at Philly, at Detroit, at Minnesota, or some combination of at Philly, then the other two, en route to the Super Bowl if they want to get there. It's a hell of a tough road, but wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something if the Commanders also had a couple upsets along the way? In theory, if the Commanders beat the Cowboys and They're favored to do so. Let me look at the line right now. I know the line. The Packers have to take care of business against the Bears. Now, here's what's interesting. Commanders, Cowboys, or Washington, Dallas, lifelong bitter rivalry. Cowboys are a dead team walking. Will they show up on Sunday? I think they will. I think they will. The Bears-Packers longtime rivalry, will they show up? I am not so sure. That said, let's assume the Commanders win, so they're the sixth seed and they avoid going to Philly. A, Tampa or LA will not be a cakewalk. Those are tough outs. Puka's back. He's cooking. Cooper Kupp, not quite cooking, as I said on Twitter, but he's there as a threat. And Matt Stafford, I have complete, total respect for him. And McVay in big games. That's a tough out. Even though I know not as much of a home field advantage for LA because their stadium and fans invade all the time. Tampa with Baker Mayfield is going to be a problem in Tampa. I think everyone can agree on that. Is Philly harder? Is Philly the tougher out? Yes, because they'll be fully rested. They'll be fully rested. I assume Hurts will be back off concussion protocol. I'd be shocked if he wasn't. And that's a tougher spot. But the LA or Tampa thing, it's going to be hard. It's the playoffs, you know? So the question is, which of the rivals have a pulse in the two corpse teams, the Cowboys or the Bears? I guess we're going to have to find out. And, of course, the season ends on game 272 out of 272 with the Lions and the Vikings, the first ever 27-win game in NFL history. And it could be 28. Up, Lions are leading. Could be a 28-win game. Holy shit. That's going to be a blockbuster, and it ends the whole season. I know. Oh, just like the league scripted it, right? If the Commanders were to upset two teams and the Packers were to do the same, the NFC title game would be at Northwest Stadium, Northwest Mutual Stadium in Ralph John, Maryland. Packers, Commanders. And yes, then, oh my God, my mentions and my timeline will be jacked up. Can we talk about my fandom for just a second? Because some people seem to be very invested in the status of my fandom. I'll repeat it again, since some of you haven't heard it, but I'll just once again say, my team that I loved as a child died. Died at the hands of Dan Snyder, being a complete and utter scumbag. Oh, by the way, you should check out Dan Snyder's yacht on Twitter. It's an account that does nothing but track where his yacht is parked. Yachts have to be registered and they can be tracked publicly. He may not be on the yacht, but apparently his yacht, according to Dan Snyder's yacht on Twitter, the Lady S has been parked in Amsterdam for 65 days. Fucking good. The last thing that anyone would have wanted would be for the team to have success with a brilliant young quarterback, and then to have that shithead enjoy any of the benefits of it. Of course, they probably wouldn't have success because shithead owners are impervious to creating the conditions required for success. Hiring good people, leaving them alone to do the things that you aren't qualified to do. But yes, follow Dan Snyder's yacht. He's just a billionaire asshole in a world full of billionaire assholes with a big-ass boat sitting there in the middle of the Netherlands. Fuck off. But back to my fandom. So the team I rooted for, the Washington Redskins, died. The name died, the logo died, and now they're airbrushing the history out of every reference to that, as you saw on the broadcast Sunday night. I took a job opportunity in Green Bay or in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and the great state of Wisconsin. And I've been doing it now for almost 6 years. I bought a share of worthless Packers stock. I have plenty of Packers gear. I've been to a ton of games at Lambeau Field, and I consider them to be my team now. This has bothered some people. How could I do this? How could I turn my back on my team? And I get it. Some people believe that you can never, should never, must never leave your original team you root for. On Twitter, when I said That's a big, big season for Washington. Happy for the fan base and my media friends. I got some of the following responses. Squinny, a.k.a. Sack Daddy, says, unthinkable to see you referring to the fan base in the third person. Couldn't imagine turning my back on a team like that, but you have your reasons. Sad, though. Okay. Then there is this from Black Label 6. I get it. It's only $5 a month and won't be noticed, I'm sure. But I will be canceling my subscription. Bummer. Hail to the Redskins. Wow. Canceling this fine audio product. And then there is this from the Real Beige Bandit. Man, it's incredible that you have turned your back on DC teams. I understand the disappointment, but it's part of fandom to be disappointed. Now, look, there are plenty of people saying, come home, we'll have you, or I know you're secretly rooting for us. The whole thing is, if the day comes in which I am working again in some DC-related media venture, and it's always possible, you can never say no, right? I will always, of course, want the team to do well. And I will analyze them in a honest and balanced way. But what constitutes true fandom? Do you have to literally be upset if they lose? And mope around your day on a Monday? Do you have to smash a remote control to prove it? At some point, we get old enough with enough responsibility in life, with a wife and kids and mortgage and college education to deal with, you become much more of a die-easy fan all the time, not a die-hard fan. But if you're mad that I'm happy for my media colleagues that are still working and need and deserve a great football team and a transcendent young star to root for and cover, and then I think you should look at yourself a bit more, because we're all going to die. This is all temporary. This is all fun and games, people. It's sports, okay? I have not spit on them. I've not wished them ill. If for some incredible miracle, it's Commanders hosting the Packers for the right to go to the Super Bowl, well, then we will have one hell of a problem on our hands. A good problem at that. A fun problem. A juicy problem. I don't think it's going to happen. And that's not me hating. That's just the odds. All right, I've had enough tonight. Thank you very much for listening and putting up with me. And again, thank you for being a supporter of the Zabecast. What a great year it's been. Let's make it even better and bigger and more fun in 2025. And while I could play Auld Lang Syne, who gives a shit about that old crusty ditty, why not play one of the greatest medleys in music history, modern music history, the great Bill Medley with Jennifer Warnes from Dirty Dancing, The Time of My Life. I've had the time of my life. Cheesy, sappy, you bet. I don't care. It makes me happy, and I'm going to play it. So thank you so much for listening. Have a great New Year's Eve. Be safe, and we will see you on Friday with Scott and Solly for the final You Are Looking Live of the 2024 NFL season.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamond South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC Diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie.